He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. As always, you can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also on my Twitter, IanLaird3. It's IanLaird/KGVM. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, as always, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big college and pro football games located at 19 Ty Lane. Up by the MSU campus, their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Lots to talk about this week, including Hawks football bounce back at home. Manhattan football ranked in the top five, but have a big test coming up this weekend. And Cats win a sloppy game on the road. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But first, let's kick it off, as always, with national news. We'll start with the NFL. Players are taking back the power this past week, as we have seen multiple players asking for trades or not playing until they do get traded. It started with Minka Fitzpatrick demanding a trade from the Miami Dolphins, who are in the midst of tanking the entire season so they can get better picks, maybe get a quarterback that's worth a darn instead of Fitzpatrick that's out there. Not this Fitzpatrick, the other Fitzpatrick. Minka was a defensive back. You'll also see a pattern here to the players that are doing this. So defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick demands a trade. Minka was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so we won that one. They traded him for a first-round pick in next year's draft to the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins now have three first-round picks and two second-round picks coming up next year, so they can load pretty quickly. They are going to probably be considered the worst team ever to play, unfortunately, this year. Later that day, Jalen Ramsey, easy for me to say, asked to be traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars after getting in an altercation with his head coach last week. During their game, the Jaguars have not yet traded the star defensive back and are asking for two first-round picks. A third player, Trumaine Johnson, who is also a defensive back with the New York Jets, has not asked for a trade but is very unhappy that he was benched last week after playing very poorly in the first game of the year. The week earlier than that, and also practiced poorly last week before the second game. I have no problem with any of these players asking. Well, I have a problem with one of them, and we'll get to that in a second. But I have no problem with that asking to be traded. But if you're the team, I would make it, you know, more difficult for them to just walk away from the situation. They are getting paid a lot of money. Maybe set them for a week or two and then trade them so they kind of no, hey, this isn't the way to go about it. Players should have little power, or should be able to have power to leave teams like Miami, who are not trying to win at all. If you're stuck on a team that's like, hey, we're trying desperately not to win a game this year so we can get a higher pick and we're for sure going to get the number one pick, why wouldn't you as a team say, all right, then trade me then. I want to go to a winner. I want to play. And that's what Jalen Ramsey's saying as well. If our quarterback's hurt, we've had a terrible offense for years, and I'm wasting all my talent down here, I can be with a team and make the same amount of money, but be with a team that actually is going to win some games and that I could help go into the playoffs, where Jacksonville's not going to be like that either. Now for Trumaine, it is a little different. I have absolutely no sympathy for him. He is one of the highest paid defensive backs in the league, and he has been a bust in New York and for the Jets in the past, last year and this year. He's one of the highest paid, like I said, DBs. He has pouted about playing time after he gave up six catches for over 100 yards in week one. Six catches. The guy was only targeted, the guy he was guarding, eight times. So six out of eight times, the guy caught the ball and ran welly in those six times for over 100 yards. He needs to shut his mouth and just go out there and prove that he wants to be on this team. Because if you whine and cry about getting benched, even though you suck and they're paying you, I think it's a guaranteed $45 million, $80 million over the next 4 years or something like that. Something ridiculous on top of it. But if you're making that much money and you're not producing, then shut up and play. I know he's an ex-University of Montana Grizzly, and I have some hatred towards them, as we all know. But this has really nothing to do with that. It has to do with he played awesome when he played for the Rams. And then he got this big contract, this big head. Defensive backs are basically wide receivers that couldn't catch, and we know how wide receivers are divas. DBs are kind of divas in that way as well. But if you're Trumaine, I can see it with Ramsey. He backs up his play every week, and all he wants to do is go to a team that's going to win. The Jets did fine, I think, defensively without Trumaine Johnson in there. Nobody's going to take that contract from a whiny, sniveling little baby that doesn't want to work at practice and doesn't want to show up to meetings on time. He had issues with that the week before, showed up to three different meetings late because he slept in, skipped another meeting because he just didn't want to go. He's got some issues and some baggage there. The Jets are stuck having him to pay that money. But if you're Trumaine Johnson, shut up and go out there and play, because there's a lot of players out there that would like to be in your position with the Jets, even though the Jets are terrible as well. Moving on to PGA news, Joaquin Niemann won the first PGA tournament in his short career with a 21 under for, and that was in the, what was it, Support to the Troops Greenbrier Classic last week. Tahoe finished second with minus 15. Nick Taylor finished tied for 24th with a minus 8, earning him a cool $60,000 for the week. This week, Nick and the PGA are at the Sanderson Farms Championship. This is the first time that the tournament is a full 500-point tourney. It is also Nick Taylor's only victory on the tour, where he won back in 2014/15 season. Currently, the leader as of right now is Tom Hoge with a minus 8 after day one. Robert Streb, Samus Powers, and Zach Johnson are right behind him. Streb and Powers are both at minus 7. Johnson at minus 5. Nick is currently at plus 2. Looks like roughly the cut line is going to be around even. Probably minus 1 tomorrow, so it'll move to minus 2. So Nick's got some definite work ahead of him on this one, but he is playing this weekend and tied for 131st right now at plus 2. The worst score of today's tournament was, I believe, plus 5, finished by Michael Kim. So good luck to Nick this weekend. Hopefully he makes the cut. It'll be cut number 2 as he finished in 28th last week. Moving on to NBA news, the FIBA World Rankings still have the U.S. as the number one team after finishing 7th at last week's World Cup event. But it looks like the U.S. basketball team is going to be tough to beat in the Olympics, as Steph Curry has announced he will be on the team. He wanted to play for his country and his team, so he is going to play for the Team USA in the Olympics. He says he is. It's a year away. With that happening, my guess is that a lot of the other players are going to play as well. Your Damian Lillards, a lot of those kind of players, my guess is they will step in and say, you know what, we'll play with you. So if that happens, I can't see anybody even coming close to the NBA. And they are the best when our best is out there. When our third and fourth string are out there, especially in international rules, anything can happen. I think that's where this team, this last USA team, got in trouble. They had an injury as well to one of their star players. But when you get your third or fourth all NBA team out there, some of these other countries that have the top players, and most of them have at least one player that's in the NBA and decent, that's when they kind of take it over. Finally, in national news, we'll look at to college football news. A big week with three top 25 matchups. Number 11 Michigan will take on number 13 Wisconsin. Both of these teams will probably undoubtedly lose two games for the rest of the year and not be in the playoffs. But Michigan's Harbaugh could be coaching for his job here. They are number 11, Wisconsin's number 13. Wisconsin is always around 5th or 6th, and then they'll lose the last week, and then they don't make it into the playoffs. Michigan's about the same way. They'll struggle with a little team and lose one game, and then they'll get blown out by Ohio State. Michigan is the team I grew up loving, along with the Bobcats, so hopefully Michigan will pull that one off. That game is set for 10 a.m. Mountain Time, so you can watch that before you head to the Bobcat game this weekend. Number 8, Auburn, is traveling to number 17, Texas Tech. That game's at 1:30 Mountain Time for a kickoff. Auburn started the season with a neutral site win and from a true freshman to then top 10 Oregon. Texas A&M is coming off a loss to number 1, Clemson, last week, 24-10. And probably the biggest game of the week in FBS, or whatever they want to call it, college football's number 7 Notre Dame will travel to Athens, Georgia for the first time ever to take on number 3 University of Georgia. Brian Kelly, the head coach of Notre Dame, has never defeated a top 5 team. Notre Dame is also, in a recent poll, the most hated team in college football. So pretty much everybody in the country is going to be rooting for Georgia. I see Georgia winning this by at least 2 touchdowns, maybe even 3. I just don't think that that Notre Dame has the quarterback and the ability to go into Athens, Georgia on an afternoon where it'll be hot and beat a team like, or in a, at night and beat a team like that. So once again, that is Notre Dame taking on University of Georgia. That game is set to kick off, I believe, around 6 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll take a quick break and come back with a look at high school action from this past week. Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Also, get a hold of me at IanLaird3 on the Twitter. It's IanLaird/KGVM Sports. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Animal House and tons to shout about here in the Gallatin Valley when it comes to high school sports. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, excuse me, kgvm.org on the interwebs or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games in college or pro football, or pro sports in general. We got the playoffs coming up for baseball here shortly. Nobody cares about baseball, but the playoffs are decent. Located at 19 Ty Lane, up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Let's take a quick look at high school sports now from last week. We'll start here in Bozeman. Football team came back from a tough home loss a week ago to Missoula Big Sky with a big home win against Billings Senior last Friday night. Hawks used 3 Carter Ash interceptions. One of those ran back for a touchdown to outpower Billings Senior 34-19. Hawks improved to 2-1 on the year while Senior falls to 0-3. Starting quarterback Jake DiAgostino went 12-21 for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns. As Asher Croy also ran for 214 yards on 29 carries. They're going to put the ball in that kid's hands and let him run the rock as much as they can and wear him out by the end of this year, I have a feeling. It wasn't all roses for the Hawks, as they were penalized throughout the night with Idens getting 4 offensive false start penalties alone in the first half, something the Hawks have to work on going forward this season, but definitely a team to rumble with if they can get the passing game going a little better. And their running game is obviously doing very, very well. It's kind of a option run, pass, OP, whatever they call it, ORP, something, whatever it's called in high school football. But RPO, run pass option, that's the word I was looking for. It just took me forever and a stumbling, yammering idiot to get it out. But they are an RPO type of team, but if they can get their passing dialed in, their defense looks solid, especially with Ash with the 3 interceptions. If he can keep that kind of coverage up, Senior is a team that passes it a ton, so the opportunities were there. But the Hawks really stepped up this last week, so congratulations to them for the win. Hawks will hit the road and take on 0-3 Billings Skyview this Friday. Skyview is losing by an average of 39 points a game, so definitely a game the Hawks could overlook. Skyview is always tough at home, so they need to make sure they don't. Kick off its schedule for 7 o'clock Friday night, and that game again is in Billings. In girls soccer, Bozeman improved to 3-0-1 with a 2-0 win over Billings West. Hawks took the lead into the 23rd minute with Kaylee Jones and Addie Ekstrom assisting a Taryn Tudsbury goal in the 58th minute. Riley Asbell scored off of an assist from Madeline Kelly. This week, the Hawks will take on CMR in Great Falls. CMR game is scheduled for 5 o'clock Friday night, with the Great Falls High game kicking off at noon on Saturday. Boys soccer, Jack Springer pays to Bozeman with 2 goals and an assist all in the final 16 minutes and led the Hawks to a 4-2 win Saturday at Billings West. The Hawks took an early lead on a Sam Byerly goal in the 8th minute, but the Golden Bears responded with 2 goals of their own that forced Bozeman's offensive shift, spread the ball around more, and the result in the comeback. This week, Bozeman boys will also travel to Great Falls to take on CMR in Great Falls High. CMR contest scheduled to start at 3 o'clock Friday, as the Great Falls High then game kicks off at 10 o'clock in the morning Saturday. So they play before the girls do. Girls play right after they are done. Cross country, Bozeman Hawk girls finished first, and the boys finished second at the Bozeman Invite at Bridger Creek this past weekend. Ladies had four runners in the top seven. This was the first meet of the season for the Hawks. This week, the Hawks will hit the road to Great Falls as well to compete in the Great Falls Invite starting Friday at 3 o'clock. Moving on to golf, both boys and girls won the team title on Tuesday's Gallatin Valley Invitational at Valley View Golf. Continuing the Hawks' streak of sweeping every tournament they've played in this season, the boys carded a team score of 286 and the girls totaled 322. The studs, Justice Verge and Jordan Verge, shot 67 and 70, respectively, and J.R. Small finished with 72, completing the all-boys top three sweep, along with Sammy Yates, Cooper Narr at 76, and Cora Rosanova at 81 finished first, second, and third among the girls' invitationals, individuals. So congratulations to the boys and girls sweeping the individuals and the team awards. That's going to be a tough team to beat, I think, throughout this entire year. This week, again, the golfers will head to Laurel for the Laurel Invite. Tee times start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Volleyball, Bozeman and Belgrade had different takeaways from the Great Falls Invite on Saturday. First, the Hawks were 2-2 in the consolation bracket, losing to Kalispell Flathead and Haver while beating Billings Skyview and Belgrade. Belgrade lost in three sets to former Class A rival Haver, but bounced back with respectable performances in its other two matches following the 25-17 14-25, 11-15 loss to Haver. The Panthers beat Missoula Big Sky 25-23, 25-20, before capping the tournament with a 25-15, 25-23, 13-15 loss to Bozeman. This week, the Hawks will take on Belgrade Thursday night. That's tonight. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock, so make sure you head down to the South Gym. Check that out. The Hawks will also take on Missoula Sentinel Saturday afternoon. That game is at 1 o'clock. Down I-90 to Belgrade, the football, a heartbreaking loss for the Panthers. Facing a fourth down, the Panthers were tied at 14 late in the fourth quarter. And Great Falls CMR's 25-yard line, head coach Kinneman for the Belgrade Panthers, thought the team could earn the first down and decided not to go for the field goal, but the Panthers were stopped on the pass play, and the game went to overtime. Belgrade's first play in extra time was a deflected pass thrown by Dyson Chaney, which was intercepted. CMR's Logan Richard ran in for a touchdown the following possession for a 20-14 overtime win for CMR and a loss for Belgrade. That was last Friday night. Panthers went into the halftime leading 7-0, thanks to a 24-yard touchdown from Chaney to Tate Bowler, and were up 14-0 at half. After three quarters, after Alex Cassis recovered a fumble in the end zone. But the Rustlers, now 1-2 on the year, their first win of the year, had the game tied up midway through the fourth thanks to a 25-yard run by Richard and a Bryce Nelson touchdown reception from Logan Korn. This week, Belgrade has this week off to rest and hopefully recover, and then we'll face Billings Senior in Billings on the 27th. So it'll be interesting to see if Billings Senior can win this weekend or if they go in and both teams looking for their very first win of the season. Belgrade has struggled so far this year in most of the sports just because it's rough. It's rough being in AA now, and you play those teams over and over and over. You don't get a break of, well, Laurel's not that good this year, whatever. You're playing CMR, you're playing Great Falls High, some of these bigger schools. So it's going to be tough. We kind of expected it. Hopefully Belgrade can pull off the win against Billings Senior. The first year in girls soccer following a shutout loss to Billings Skyview on Saturday, Carl Bidwell apologized to his players at practice for not having them prepared to face the defending state champs. Nobody was prepared for that team. They're that good. First-year Belgrade coach then addressed another issue that arose during the conference defeat. Players become demeaning and degrading towards each other. He managed to hash things out prior to the Bozeman, hosting Bozeman in East competition in a Clash Tuesday evening. That renewed sense of camaraderie, if you will, helped the Panthers to a 1-1 draw against Bozeman. Bozeman's a very good soccer team. Bozeman outshot the Panthers 31-3 and twice had kicks that hit the frame. Addy Ekstrom drilled a crossbar on a penalty kick midway through the second half, then hit the left post on a shot with less than 8 minutes remaining. Belgrade, now 2-2-1, was only able to muster one shot in the first half, but it went in, then weathered an offensive onslaught in the second. The Hawks had the run of play, but only one goal to show for it as the double whistles blew, and that was the end of the game in boys soccer. So congratulations to the Panthers coming back and taking Bozeman to a draw. They should be proud of that. And they're now 2-2-1, so not too horribly bad early on in the season. Boys soccer, nearly every way a team can score a goal was achieved by the defending state champ Bozeman High against Belgrade at the Belgrade Youth Sports Complex. Bozeman, 5-0 so far in the year, found the back of the net on a breakaway, a header, a penalty kick, and several times off of set pieces en route to a 7-0 shutout of Belgrade in Eastern AA clash. It was an efficient performance by an unbeaten Hawks. The Hawks scored all 7 of their goals in the first half on just 9 shots. So 7 goals on 9 shots. Can't get much better than that. You can only get too much better than that. There it comes. 3 of those came off the foot of Jackson Cole, who got the hat trick. Also added an assist in the game as well. Moving on to volleyball, Belgrade was only able to muster 1 kill in the first set and 10 in the match. In an Eastern AA loss to Great Falls CMR, that resulted in a 25-10, 25-13, 25-18 loss. Coming off a tough 2-day tournament in Great Falls over the weekend, the Panthers came out flat. By the time they started to have some success in the third set, it was way too late. Belgrade now 0-7 and 0-3, even though it said earlier they beat Billings Skyview, so it's actually 1-6 and 0-3. Finally settled into the contest in the third set, got a couple of blocks from middle hitter Maddie Tomasetti, and aces from Delaney Hicks and Olivia Wagner. This week, Belgrade will take on Bozeman High again tonight in Bozeman South Gym. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. Make sure you go check out the two AA teams as they face off against each other tonight. Moving on to Manhattan High School football, Lane Veldkamp ran for 3 touchdowns and threw for 2 more in Friday night's lead Manhattan to a league victory. The senior quarterback had touchdown runs of 8, 27, and 4 yards and threw scores of 14 and 8 yards as the Tiger routed Three Forks 47-0 in District 5B clash. This week, Manhattan outscored. So this week, they have a very tough team. So far, they've outscored their first two opponents 101-14. But this week, they face their real first test against Missoula Loyola. The Rams were last year's state runner-up. Manhattan comes into the game ranked number 3 in the 406 Sports Class B rankings. Loyola is 4th in the 406 Sports rankings and finished 2nd again last year. So if you have a chance to head out to Manhattan, check that out. It should be a great, great game. Hopefully Manhattan could come away with the victory in that one. But that should be a good one. Of any of the high school games going on this weekend, that'll probably be the best football one out of the bunch. We'll take a quick break and come back with a look at MSU athletics from this past weekend. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, this is Ian with KGVM Sports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Get 'em up, hey, put 'em up, hey. We waking up high, high with my dogs, riding high when we pull up, high, high with my dogs. Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM.
Welcome to the Bobcat Party. Now that we're done with high school and national news, it's all Bobcats for the last remainder of the show. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. You can reach us at 424-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. You can also get a hold of me at IanLaird3, IanLaird/KGVM Sports. On the Twitters, if you have any grumblings or gripes about anything I'm doing, which I'm sure everybody does, you're all, allowed your opinion, but my wife says I'm awesome, and that's all that matters to me. And my mom says I'm pretty good, too. So there you go. Moving on to MSU sports from this past week, we'll start with golf. The Montana State Golf completed play at the Battle of Old Works on Tuesday, September 17th, by taking fourth place in the team's standings at Old Works Golf Course. Bobcats were boosted by senior Kelly Hooper, second place honor, so congratulations to her. MSU wrapped play by carding a 54-hole tournament score of 902. The total was the fifth best mark in program history. Bobcats finished three strokes behind North Dakota State in the team standings. Cal Poly won the team event with a score at 885 strokes. Hooper topped her previous best appearance at the Battle of Old Works after finishing in a tie for third as a sophomore in 2017 meet. Hooper placed alone in second on Tuesday by recording a 1 over 217. She picked up her fifth top five finish of her collegiate career by shooting a third round 75. Hooper owns one career victory at the 2018 GCU Invitational. So congratulations to the Cats and Hooper. This week, Cat golfers will tee it up at the Ptarmigan Ram Classic in Fort Collins this Monday and Tuesday. Moving on to volleyball, the Cats went 2-1 this past week with wins over UTEP and CSU Bakersfield. Both those games were at University of Montana. They did not play the Grizz yet. Then came home and lost to Seattle University in a comeback fifth set loss. They pushed them all the way, almost had a chance to win, but they lost by two in that one. Montana State senior outside hitter Evie Wilson was named Big Sky Conference Offensive Player of the Week for her efforts at the Montana Farmers State Bank Invitational. That's a weird Farmers State Bank Invitational last weekend in Missoula. Product from Vancouver, Washington led MSU with a 2-0 mark with victories over UTEP 3-0 and Cal State Bakersfield 3-1. Wilson was named to the all-tournament team in that. For the weekend, Wilson posted 25 kills, averaging 3.5 kills per set, while hitting an impressive point 358. In addition, she added 10 digs and 3 blocks on the weekend. Wilson registered 10 kills while committing just one error in 23 attempts against UTEP and followed that performance with 15 kills and a .333 attack mark against the Roadrunners. Cats right now are number 2 in the country in digs on the year, just, you know, FYI. This week, Cats will travel to Missoula to take on arch-rival University of Montana in the first battle of the teams for any team so far this year. That is in Missoula Tuesday, September 24th. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. Good luck to the Cats. Beat the Grizz. Grizz suck. Moving on to football, Montana State remained poised late and kept Western Illinois off the scoreboard in the fourth quarter to pick up a 23-14 non-conference football win on Saturday, September 14th at Hanson Field. The Bobcats jumped out of the gates with momentum after MSU defense drove Western Illinois back 13 yards on its opening drive. The Bobcat offense responded. A 10-play, 64-yard drive highlighted with three Case Bauman completions. The Bobcats found the end zone with Logan Jones burst through the MSU offensive line for a 14-yard touchdown run. Montana State narrowly outgained Western Illinois 443 to 437 yards, but did most of its work on the ground with 194 yards rushing. Jones was MSU's top ball carrier with 137 yards on 21 carries. Jones led the team with 6 receptions and 71 yards receiving, while Croy Steele's 5 receptions and Kevin Cass's 4 were right behind him. KC Bauman went 16 of 30 through the air for 149 yards in passing. This week, Cats will take on Norfolk State. That's 1 o'clock at Bobcat Stadium. This is the Stripe the Stadium game. It's already sold out. I was just up there this morning driving around, and all of the signs on campus, it says, get your tickets here. Every one of them has a sold-out sticker over it, so you can't get them anymore. Congratulations, Cats, with another sellout in non-conference against a team we should handle pretty easily is great, especially with all the elk rutting and all the hunting that's going to go on this weekend as well, and afternoon games. Sometimes hard to get people to, but this one is sold out, so congratulations to them. Make sure you're loud and proud and you get there early and stay late. We'll take another quick break and come back with a look at last week's game and what the Cats need to do against Norfolk State. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games in college or pro sports. Located in 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus, phone number is 406-587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. If you have the tweeters, you can also tweet us at Ian Laird 3. It's Ian Laird / KGVM Sports on the Twitter if you have any complaints or nice things to say, too. Twitter isn't just a place for horrible human beings to yell at each other. You can also say nice things. So, you know, try it every once in a while. Let's take a look at the Cats' win against Western Illinois. Cats, once again, basically what Choate called a planes, trains, and automobile adventure to get there. Bobcats had to fly, then they took a train to an area, then they took a bus after spending the night to the stadium. So it pretty much was planes, trains, and automobiles. It's a very, very tough place to play. Coming in, the Leathernecks were 20-0 in home openers, so that just shows you in the last 20 games, they're now 20-1 in home openers. So that tells you how tough it is to play there, how tough it is to get there. Not a huge crowd. We talked about that last week, the crowd issue and the lack of noise, the lack of adrenaline and enthusiasm that a big crowd gives you was going to be an issue, and you could tell that early on. The Cats drove right down the field on their first drive. They stopped the Western Illinois on their first drive, and it looked like, okay, here we go, and then it got really sloppy in a big-time hurry. So let's take a look real quickly at the good, the bad, and the uglies from last week. The goods, it was a road win. Cats under Choate are really struggling to get road victories, and even though Western Illinois was winless on the year, the Cats still have to feel good about the victory. Again, 20 straight home opening wins for Western Illinois, and the Cats ended that streak. So congratulations to the Cats on that. Defensive pressure. Cats continued the great play up front with Sterk and company giving the quarterback and running back fits all afternoon. This is a very impressive front four. I don't think that any team in the FCS level has a front four as good as this one. And I'll take that to the bank. You name me one place. Maybe North Dakota State. They seem to be awesome at everything. But our front four... maybe not the backups and everything else when you get into depth. We'll talk about that here in a second. But our front four is as good as anybody in the country. Number three on the goods, Logan Jones had an amazing night, or amazing day, I should say. Great game for the fifth-year senior. Jones rushed for 167 yards on 21 carries while Ifanse was out with an injury. Number four, Tristan Bailey. Made all three of his field goals and both of his extra points Saturday, helping the Montana State to the 23-14 win over Western Illinois. And for his efforts, he landed Root Sports Big Sky Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. So far in 3 weeks, I think all three has been a Cat on offense, defense, or special teams. Padmos was week one, Tristan Bailey was last week, and I believe Sterk was the week before that. So congratulations to Tristan Bailey as well. The senior from Colorado Springs hit two kicks into the wind in the fourth quarter to seal Montana's win. The first was a 41-yarder with 11:13 remaining. Second game clincher was a 47-yarder with 2:40 to go. He also converted a 27-yarder earlier in the third quarter. Bailey also averaged 62.7 yards in his six kickoffs with two touchbacks and one other pin inside the 20-yard line. Bailey is now 5-for-7 on field goals this season and 8-for-8 on extra points. So that was the good, a lot of good coming out of it, but there's also quite a bit of bad. Number one, defensive secondary. Cats are still struggling at the linebacker and secondary position to stop inside routes and some of the deeper routes. Cats gave up way too many long passes and still seem to be tentative on the outside. Little dump-off plays that are running for way more than they should ever in those kind of situations. This has to change if they're going to get where they want to go in conference play. Number two, quarterback play. I know he's young, but Casey Bauman needs to step it up. He struggled in his third start of his career, going 16 for 30 for 149 yards. No TDs, also no interceptions, so that's a positive. He had multiple throws, though, that came up short, and he continues to struggle with the short to medium passes. Choate mentioned it in his presser earlier this week that he's not stepping in. He's not shifting his weight correctly, something they can easily fix when he's going to throw the ball, and that's why a lot of these are platooning low. It's something Cam Newton is dealing with right now. He's got a foot injury, so he can't plant on that foot, and when you pass like that, when you're not planning, your passes seem to go down and low to the receivers. Casey's also 5'7", so a lot of these intermediate passes that are short, because of his arm angle, he's almost throwing down to the receiver, and that's really affecting the way the ball is carrying in the air. A lot of those passes are going short. He also doesn't have the touch quite yet. On his long passes, you're wasting a lot of wide receiver talent and speed out there if they can't get that figured out. So as much as I like the kid, it's definitely something that needs to be concerning going into conference play. He's got one more cream puff game this week at home. Should be a huge crowd. They should be able to win it. So hopefully you can get that figured out, but it's definitely something that is in the bad category for now. And third on the bads is injuries. Cats were without Munchie Feiler. Again, at defensive back, Isaiah Fonse at running back, and limited Trey Anderson at linebacker slash scat position, whatever you want to call it. Cats don't have a ton of depth to handle multiple injuries at a linebacker. Linebacker, they're pretty set, but a defensive back and everything else, they don't have a ton of depth there. The players they do are good, but it's a huge step down from Feiler to the next guy. So to get into a deep playoff run, they've got to be able to stay healthy at some of these positions and let Troy heal up, let Afonso heal up, because if those two are hurt, that is a huge blow for your defense and your offense for the Cats. The ugly penalties. 22 penalties in the game is, I believe, what I read. This is on the refs not letting these kids play. Physical play and everything's okay. Choate said that earlier this week as well. He'll go with the aggressive plays. He'll wipe those off and say that's cool. But it's the bonehead plays, the false starts, and some of those that really kill a drive. The Cats had two touchdowns called back on penalties. One a blocking in the back. And I believe they might have both been blocking in the back. One was on an interception. One was on a kick return. So both of those called back. No rhythm at all for either team with all of the flags. You were lucky to get two plays off in a row before the refs made themselves the game and started throwing the flags. And that's exactly what they did. The refs made themselves part of the game when they shouldn't. They should just wear your Foot Locker jerseys. I know it's opposite, but Foot Locker jerseys and stand off to the side and let these kids play. If it's obvious holding or something like that, yeah, call it. But you shouldn't have to throw the flag 24 times. In that case, you're just making yourself a part. I thought Big Sky officials were bad. It turns out Mountain West or whatever in the heck they're called, Missouri Valley, that's what they're called. Missouri Valley is even worse. So final word on this game. Cats came away with the win. That's good. They're now ranked 8th in the country. I don't know if they're actually that great. Eastern Washington lost, so they dropped below us. I don't know if we're 8th in the country yet. I think we can easily get there. But it won't last if we can't work out some of those bad issues that we talked about earlier with the quarterback, some of the injuries, and stuff like that. So moving on to this week's game. They have Norfolk State this weekend. First look at Norfolk State. The Cats return to the Bobcat Stadium for the final non-conference tune-up, hosting Norfolk State. The game's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. The Spartans enter Saturday's game 1-2 overall, but Montana State stands as Norfolk State's first FCS opponent. NSU has lost to FBS Old Dominion and Coastal Carolina while beating Division II entry Virginia State. 2018, after winning three of its first four games, Norfolk State suffered through a four-game midseason losing streak, finished 4-7 last year, 2-5 in the conference. Norfolk State owns a 1-2 non-conference record in the MEAC and places the Spartans in the middle of the league standings through week three. Like the Big Sky, the MEAC plays starts in earnest, I guess, or whatever, next week. So next week is when they kick off. This is their final game as well. Preseason conference prediction. Norfolk State was picked to finish 7th in the MEAC in 2019. According to Leeds head coach, sports information director, Norfolk State is unranked. Cats, again, are ranked 8th in the Stats FCS poll, number 14 in the AFCS FCS coaches poll going into this game. This is the very first meeting for each team. Spartan leading rusher is Juwan Carter. with 91 yards on 21 carries and a touchdown. Kevin Johnson has 63 yards on 10 carries, and Aaron Savage has 58 yards on 24. Neither of the last two have a touchdown. Passing, Juwan Carter, again, he's the one that Choate called kind of Chris Murray-esque. He's going to throw it and pass it. He's their offense. He's 40 for 67 for four touchdowns, 5.597. I don't know what that means. Oh, that's his completion percentage, just under 60%. 458 yards in the air and seven touchdowns, four interceptions. Receiving yards, DeKendall James has nine catches for 128 yards and a touchdown. Gerald Hewlett has seven catches for 65 yards and a touchdown, and Justin Smith has five catches for 93 yards. Zach Myers is their main defensive player with three sacks on the year. Nigel Chavis has 22 tackles, along with Deshaun Dixon has 20. So a good team. I don't know if they have the depth or are going to be able to handle the heat or the height up here. So looking at keys to the game, again, Bauman has got to be better at passing the ball. If we don't have to play Afonso, don't. Sit him, get him healthy for conference, because you've got Northern Arizona coming in the week after this, and they are going to be a juggernaut. So you need to make sure all of your players are healthy going into this game. You've got to get your secondary figured out. You've got, again, 2 weeks before you face one of the best quarterbacks in the FCS in NAU. Again, that game is at home, so that'll help. But you've got to get that defense figured out. Can't just rely on Jacque Allen in the backfield and Conkle to fix everything at their safety positions. You've got to get your linebackers being able to cover people over the middle, or some of these teams in the Big Sky are going to eat you alive. They love to pass the ball. None of them are huge defensive teams, but you're not going to get in a shootout with Bauman in as your quarterback. You're not going to win a shootout in that situation. So we've got to get some of that figured out on defense. I think the front four will be fine. They're going to pressure that quarterback all game long. Do not let him hit the outside. That's where people have been the deadliest against the Cats, is on the outside. So if those linebackers can contain him, push him inside, the running game should be fine for the Cats. Again, if you don't need Afonso, I know he wants to play, but sit him out if you have to, or if you see anything from him that is concerning. Cats should run away with this one. So who's going to win? My heart says Cats 38-7. I just don't think this team's going to be able to score against the Bobcats. My head says Cats 27-10. I think we're going to struggle. My head thinks we're going to struggle a little bit in the third quarter, second and third quarter, like we have. I think we'll come out a little hotter, but it should be interesting to see how they play after that. So that'll do it for this week. Once again, the Cats play at 1 o'clock. It's Stripe the Stadium game, so make sure you look at your tickets, look at a map online. As Bethany said last week, look on online and see where you're supposed to sit or what colors you're supposed to wear, either blue or gold. We're in blue. I'm wearing blue today, so we should be good to go. That'll do it for this week. Once again, thank you very much all for listening. Thank you to Spectator Sports Bar and Grill for sponsoring. And this has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.